For this morning's sermon, we'll think about the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 24. I reread verses 44 and 45. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Now what? What do we do in this age of Jesus is risen from the dead? What is he tasked us with? How is he working among us? This appearance of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gives us some things right from him to think about how he works in our lives. Especially as we see the political nation of Israel undergoing war now, we can imagine that the disciples at Jesus' time, his followers, were concerned about the promises of the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of God. And so throughout history, that what God is doing as people Israel and the Jews, the Christians, everything that's going on comes to people's minds now and then. And the disciples said to Jesus, right before he ascended into heaven, they said, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They were thinking about that. They were thinking about this world's kingdom and the promises made to David, and how is that going to look like? What is that going to be? It says there in Acts 1, Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So Jesus says God has a plan for the Jews, for all his people, the Christians, but he's fixed those by his authority. And you're not going to know all the details. You don't know the times and the seasons. That's not for you to know. But what you are responsible for is to be my witnesses. First to Jerusalem, then Samaria, Judah, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that makes me think, the ends of the earth. Have we reached the ends of the earth yet? I was thinking about that this morning. Okay, there's some pretty remote places in Africa. Most of those have been reached. One of us, at least, has gone to the Antarctica, visited. I don't know if maybe there's some devotions or Bible studies going on, people, the researchers in Antarctica, probably. What's the most remote places? To the ends of the earth. Jesus said the gospel should go forwards. He says, that's what you're involved with. We know nations go to war against nations. We know all these things happen. But Jesus says, think about these things. But being my witnesses. And the little blank there is, Jesus does not promise success by the world's measurements. You see, the disciples were saying, okay, now will you restore the kingdom to Israel? Now can we see it? Now will it all happen like somehow we're thinking it's going to happen so that we can see it with our eyes? And he tells them, but it's not for you to know the timing of these things, that God is fixed by his authority, but you will be my witnesses. That's what he said right before he ascended, and this same time of our risen Lord. But what does he say here? That night that he appears, that Easter evening, the resurrection evening, he says at least five things to them. At least five promises. And these promises are interlinked and support each other as he says this to them in the text. He says, first of all, peace be to you. You have peace with God. That's the number one thing we need to know, that we are not sinners separated from God anymore, that peace with God is made. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that amazing? That what did the angels sing at Jesus' birth? Peace be to the world. That peace now is solidified, is paid for, is complete. You have peace. That's the first thing. And then they're doubting, and also they're marveling. They're so surprised with joy that Jesus has risen from the dead. It says some doubted with joy, misbelieving. I can't believe it. And then he shows them his hands and feet and eats a piece of fish to show them his body. I'm really risen from the dead. I can chew, I can swallow. He wants them to have confidence that he is risen from the dead. Absolutely sure. You have peace with God, and you should be confident that I have risen from the dead. And then he, by his power, opens our minds to the scriptures. And that is so important for us to see, okay, what is our minds? How does God want to use our minds now that Jesus has risen from the dead, and I'm confident that he's risen from the dead, and I'm confident that I have peace with God? How does he want to use us and our minds? He opens our minds to his word to see how Jesus has fulfilled in all the Old Testament, in the books of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, that he has done all that is necessary to redeem his people, to step on the snake's head, to pay for the sins of sinners. And that's where that sermon hymn came about. You said, well, it's a nice hymn, but how does it fit with Easter or whatever? It said over and over again in that hymn that he's atoned for our sins, that we're redeemed. That's why I put that one in the sermon. Because we have the certainty, and God has opened our minds to understand how Jesus has done all these things in the scriptures. And he opened his disciples' minds that they would understand the Old Testament prophecies and write them down for us to know how Jesus fulfilled it. And he says to the disciples, you are witnesses of these things. Now, they saw an eyewitness. They saw him betrayed. They saw him suffer. They saw him die. They saw him risen again from the dead. They were the eyewitnesses. And then they wrote these things down for us during their ministry on earth, the rest of their lives on earth. And we have those writings. And we have the testimony. Then we are given to take these eyewitnesses' account and teachings from Jesus through his apostles to us, to what? The ends of the earth. Maybe that's a certain house in Ridgeville Corners or a certain place in Archibald or a certain place in some other town or Bendiri, Africa, wherever, ends of the earth. So we have our minds opened by God to be witnesses to what we have written down for us. And then we also receive the promise of the Father, that is the Holy Spirit. Now, all these things interact with one another. The Holy Spirit helps us understand God's word, teaches us. The Holy Spirit helps us be witnesses. Why are we witnesses? How can we do this? Because we have peace with God. Because we have confidence that Jesus has risen from the dead. And these five promises interact because sometimes I'm afraid, I don't have peace with God, but then I know Jesus has risen from the dead because of he's conquered sin and given me forgiveness. I have peace with God. And so these things that Jesus is working in us and has done for us interact in our lives. That's the now what. These things are happening in our lives till the day we die or Jesus comes again for us. We have peace with God. We have confidence that he has risen from the dead. He opens our minds to the scriptures. We're witnesses to the ends of the earth. And we have the Holy Spirit. We have daily tasks. We have children and grandchildren, nieces and nephews. We have jobs that we need to do. We have responsibilities. But as Christians, these things are given to all of us to carry out. This is his task for us. This is how he uses us. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending your son, Jesus. And now that he's risen from the dead, we ask you to make us every day your witnesses. Open our minds to your word. Reassure us of the peace we have with you and the confidence that Jesus has risen from the dead. Fill us with your Holy Spirit each day so that all these things happen over and over again. And help us to remember, Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the hymn, Eternal Spirit of the Living Christ, 769.